It's a tough time of year, I tell you. You know, we already got the cookies and the cakes and the Hanukkah gelt out. I see the Christmas cookie bakes happening. It's all going on. It is a very difficult time of year if you're even remotely watching your weight, but it could be a tragic time of year if you are addicted to food. Our next guest is program director at Core Retreat. Her name is Michelle Goldberger. She is a recovering food addict. She's been in recovery for 8 years, so congratulations to Michelle. She's maintained her weight loss, and she currently works at Core Retreat, which is an inpatient addiction recovery center. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Michelle.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you're feeling better. I didn't know if you were going to make it tonight. Michelle had a migraine.
I'm glad also.
So I'm glad you're feeling better. But tell me about what it's like then for you. You are a recovering food addict, and I know you had an alcohol addiction as well. So recovering from that, this time of year, does it just make you nervous?
Not anymore. Early on in recovery, it was very difficult. I felt deprived. I felt like, why do I have to be different? I felt sorry for myself.
Sure.
I kept telling myself, I can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But today, it's all changed. It's all changed because now I can look at the food and just appreciate the beauty of it. And I look at that and I say, that's not mine. You know what? I don't even crave it anymore. I've been without it for so long.
Now, tell us about your journey. I know you say you have 8 years of stable recovery over your food addiction. Tell us about your journey. What was it like when you were still struggling?
Oh, gosh. Every time the holidays came around or any kind of occasion came around, I would tell myself, well, you know, this is okay. You can just have one, or, you know, you can quit tomorrow, and, you know, turns out these were lies for me because I'm a food addict, and mm-hmm. once I start, I can't stop. And so for me to say, oh, this time, you know, just have one, you can starve yourself all day and then just control it. I could never control it. Once I started, I could not stop. And then tomorrow would come. I would say, I'll quit tomorrow. Tomorrow would come, and it would be today again.
Hmm.
And today I wanted to have one more. It just never worked.
So how did your addiction spiral? How overweight were you, and what was your moment where you decided that this has to stop?
Oh gosh, you know what? I was pregnant with twins when I was 30 years old, and I weighed 230 pounds. Everything was fat. My nose was fat. My hands were fat. My feet were fat. I was huge.
Okay, but you were pregnant, so don't you get a pass for that?
Yeah, right. So I don't count that.
Okay.
So now, after every time I had a baby, I would gain 70 pounds. I would just use it for a free ticket to eat as much as I wanted and stop dieting. So then after my fifth child, now I'm 37 years old, I'm 70 pounds overweight. I've had the baby. You know, the baby weighs what? If he was big, he would weigh like 9 pounds. I'm still 70 pounds overweight.
Oh.
And I could not, you know, get it off. And so I just realized, this is just like alcohol was for me.
Okay.
I mean, I recognized that.
So did you replace food? Did you replace alcohol with food?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I was just still trying to fill that hole inside of me with some kind of chemical to numb me or to escape or to reward me. And it didn't work.
So what was your moment? When did you decide this has to stop? When did you hit your rock bottom with food?
Gosh, you know, my son was in the hospital with an eating disorder. And I just said a prayer, and I said, God, I cannot help him. What do I do? And the answer came in my head that I had got heard in the rooms of recovery. It said, you know, do something about your own addiction. You cannot fix him, but fix yourself.
Okay.
And so that's what I did. I went in and I started taking care of myself. And as a result, I've been modeling for my kids all these years. And they imitate me. They do what I do, not what I tell them to do.
Now, I think food addiction is such an unusual addiction because you can't live without food. You can live without alcohol. You can live without drugs. But food is something that you have to face every day. And you have to have some. So how is recovering from a food addiction different than recovering from an alcohol addiction?
Yeah, it was really simple. You know, when I quit alcohol, I just quit all forms of alcohol. You know, I didn't even have near beer or anything because it had traces of alcohol. It was very simple.
Sure.
But with food, it took some investigating. I had to ask some people who had gone before me, what did you do? How did you know what to eat, what not to eat? And they showed me. I actually put boundaries around my food. I put the foods in a kind of in a box in my mind, mm-hmm. the ones that I cannot have, and I avoid those. Like sugar is in that box, mm-hmm. white flour, high fat foods, any kind of sugar substitute like sugar-free ice cream, all of that stuff I was unable to control once I started. That goes in the box.
Mm.
I abstain from everything that's in that box. So it has become clear for me, black
okay.
and white, what I can have and what I can't have.
So when recovering from a food addiction, then, is this true for all people in recovery from food addiction? There are certain things you can eat and certain things you cannot eat?
Right, because some foods don't trigger the uncontrollable eating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The foods that do, we have to abstain from, just as if they were heroin. You know, it's like, for a food addict to say, I'll just have a one piece of cake on my birthday, it's like a heroin addict saying, I'll just have a little heroin on my birthday. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way to look at it, because like I said, you have to eat food to live. You have to have some, I'm sure there must be some little bit of sugar every now and then in something that you eat. Is that true or no?
You know what? I just read all the labels.
Okay.
Everything that goes in my mouth, I know if it's if sugar is the fifth ingredient or beyond, it's a small enough level where my body can tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can tolerate more levels, like the fourth ingredient or on. But it's pretty safe for me.
Everything. As you're recovering, can you add more food in as you get further in your recovery?
That would be like saying to the alcoholic, can you add a little bit of alcohol here and there?
Interesting.
And
okay.
It just doesn't work.
It's okay.
Complete abstinence for me.
Complete abstinence. Okay, then how do you handle, then around the holiday season, your diet doesn't change at all, correct?
That's right. I call ahead to find out what they're serving, what I can have, you know, what the protein is. I usually can have the protein. What's the vegetable? You know, and whatever they don't have, I bring, or I offer to bring a dish that I can eat.
Interesting.
You know, I just adapt my life around it.
How much weight did you lose and how much have you kept off?
I lost 70 pounds and I've been maintaining that for 8 years. It's great because my closet used to have a size, you know, go from the size 2 to 22. And now I have got 4s and 6s.
Okay,
and
well, good for you.
For years.
Now tell me how somebody can identify. I mean, again, the holiday sort of brings out the worst in all of us. We all want, I just want to taste this and I just want to taste that. And it's the holidays, so I'll overindulge. How can you identify if you are a true food addict?
That's a great question. And this is actually a really good time. You can run the controlled eating test. Go to the holidays, set yourself a limit. I'm going to have 3 treats. And then if you can stick to it, you're probably a normal eater. Now, if you go and you start changing your mind, 4 is a little close enough to 3. Well, that was a small one, so those 2 really only count as 1, so I'll only count those 2 as 4. You know, you start playing games with it and you can't stick to your limit. There's a good chance you might have a problem. It might be an addiction if you can't predict how much you're going to eat and be able to stick to it.
Okay, again, I mean, it sounds like also it's a willpower thing, and the holidays, I think, are kind of a dangerous time anyway. Everybody sort of gives themselves a pass around that. But I love how you described it by putting it in a box, especially for an addict. I guess that's how your recovery is. There are things that are prohibited, and there are things that are allowed. And I guess you have to keep your food addiction as strict as you do an alcohol or a drug addiction to make it successful.
Absolutely. Because this is what kill us, too. I mean, obesity is a leading cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge problem.
Talk to me about when somebody says, you know what, I said 3 treats and I ended up having 8, and that happened 5 days in a row. So maybe I do have a problem. A little bit about Core Retreat. They can call Core Retreat. It's called COR, Core Retreat. It's in Wayzata. Do they have to go in for an inpatient indoctrination?
Not at all. It's a simple interview over the phone. I ask them 2 questions. You know, once you start eating certain foods, do you have little control over the amount you take? And they usually say, oh, yeah, and they start laughing. And then the other question is, once you stop those foods, like you go on a diet, you eliminate sugar, can you ever stay stopped for a long period of time? And they're all like, no, I always, every time I lose the weight, I gain the weight back year after year after year. And so then I say, okay, you're in. They sign up, they come, we get them a jump start on a lifelong program. We don't fix them, but we send them on their way with strong help, and people have just had their lives transformed.
Wow, it's amazing. All right, tell me the website. I'm going to put it on my Facebook site so people can find you and get some more information. What's the website, Michelle?
It's www.cormncoremen.org.
Okay, good. I'm gonna post it right now on my WCCO Facebook website. I do want to know what happened with your son. You said he was in the hospital for an eating disorder. What disorder did he have?
Yeah, he had the symptoms of anorexia, and his organs were shutting down.
Oh, my goodness.
He was young. He was fat. They teased him. He stopped eating. He started restricting because he did not know how to control his food once he started eating it. So he just stopped eating.
Wow. Okay.
They got him physically healthy. He came out. He started to eat the way I eat, and he's been eating that way ever since. Wow. We eat the same thing.
But you think maybe from seeing you from a young age struggling with not being able to control what went in your mouth, that set him on that path as well?
Yeah. And when he saw me do different diets and stuff, he perceived that as restricting my food.
Okay.
And he copied me.
All right, well, Michelle Goldberger from Core Retreat, I'm posting it on the Facebook site. If anything, they're just good. It's good information for people to think about going in to the holidays. And you're right, it kind of is a good test. If you're struggling, if you think you might have an addiction, do this test for yourself even before you get to the holidays. And help is available right around the corner here in Wayzata. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm so glad that you and your son are doing better.
Thank you, Jordana.
Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
That's a tough one. You know, that is a tough one. I mean, Jonathan has a gluten allergy. I have a dairy allergy, and I've grown into my lactose intolerance, and I have completely eliminated dairy. Okay, I shouldn't say that then. I've completely eliminated dairy except for I still eat candy. Like, I still eat chocolate. I still eat peanut butter cups. I still eat Snickers. I do still eat candy, so there is some dairy. It's processed, but I've completely eliminated dairy, and that has made things easier. If there's dairy in it, I just don't eat it. And I know, Jonathan, the same thing for you. You have completely eliminated gluten from your diet.
Yes, and I actually do have a lactose intolerance as well, but that one I ignore more than the gluten. The gluten, I basically flat out try to do anything I can to stay away from it. The lactose, I still eat cheese, I still eat butter,
You do? How can you tolerate that?
It's not as bad as the gluten intolerance is, and I've had the lactose intolerance since I was 2. So I kind of manage my way around it that way.
Oh, wow.
You know, I try to avoid it from time to time, but I still eat chocolate, I'll still eat ice cream, you know, that sort of stuff, but I try to keep it a little bit under wraps
but
if I can.
It's funny because I used to think, oh, well, if I couldn't have grilled cheese or if I couldn't have pizza, I couldn't live. I mean, those were main food sources for me. I eat cheese every day. That's a major protein source for me. And I became lactose intolerant within the last few years. And now I mean, I'm sick for days if I have a little bit.
Yeah.
So I could not tolerate. And again, you do grow accustomed to things that you cannot have. When she says, well, I don't eat sugar and I don't eat white flour, and I think to myself, oh my gosh, how could she live? Yet you do become accustomed to what you need.
It's a shock to your system when you first find out about it, but if you take care of yourself and stick to a strict plan, it can become more comfortable fairly quickly.
And I guess when you get sick, if you eat something, then you're really in trouble.
Right.
You know, I mean, then you know you have to stay away from it.
Exactly.
So. All right, Core Retreat. Interesting stuff.